Gaming Uncensored is brought to you by Colonel Duff. Duff, helping a random handicapped guy in the middle of nowhere. Only on Gaming Uncensored.
Controlling transmission.
Divided by a thousand miles of barren wasteland, two men mysteriously linked by alien technology on a podcasting mission to boldly deliver video game news and views directly to your brain. This is Gaming Uncensored. Your Gaming Uncensored guides, the dynamic duo, the video game gurus, a man on wheels, and a Yeti with a modem, Jamie and Tommy.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. How you doing? My name is Jamie Jordan, and this is a frustrated edition of Gaming Uncensored. Of course, Tommy's sitting over there. What's on the show this week, sir?
I bet you can guess. We've got Nintendo Switch 2 news, and that's it. I mean, that's everything we're going to be talking about. I'm sure there's other stuff happening in the gaming industry, but that's what we're talking about because there's way too much of it for us to even get through today. So we're going to get through as much of that as we can, knock on wood, tech cooperating with us, because so far it hasn't been.
Yeah, it's not a good day. Yeah. We're having all kinds of tech issues, lots of fun stuff. So if you get the technical difficulty sweeper, there's a good reason for that. There's a reason why we have that. Because
knock on wood, too, that this will be live on the Patreon, our video feed. If not, it's because something went poorly with tech, but just giving you that heads up now. While we're on the topic, though, thanks to the Patreon guys, Cabbage, Jose, Narc, Duff, Josh, Hector, Spider, Spencer, Kavash, Chad, Zeke, Chris, Brigham, Andrew, Sam, Luik, Logan, Liz, Jordan, Gio, and Derek. We appreciate you guys a ton. Even when we're dealing with tech issues, we still are like, hey, at least we got Patreon guys helping us out, which is a big deal. So we appreciate you guys. Thank you for supporting the show. If you want to become a patron, you can do that. Go by gaminguncensored.com, click that become a patron link, and you get sometimes the podcast in video form. Well, again, hopefully you will today. We'll see what happens.
At some point, we're going to see each other before we die.
Yes.
and I can promise you that when that happens, whenever that is, there will be some cool Patreon content, because we've had lots of cool stuff over here, and you haven't been here yet. And lots of things changing while we're talking about tech. We are in the process of moving web servers, and so if something goes weird with the website next week, please let us know. Evie is supposed to be working on that tomorrow. If there is an issue, it will be our fault. It will not be her fault, because our Gaming Uncensored folder, which the website lives in, is a complete total mess. It looks like a hoarder lives there, and she's like, what is this? And I'm like, I don't know. And she's like, does Tommy know? And so I ask you, do you know? And you're like, nope. And she's like, great.
To be fair, it is like the history of the show over 20 years in like a closet in a web space, you know, like it just is all of the stuff that has existed as Gaming Uncensored since we started, all like there. And so, yeah, it's a disaster.
So you people laugh at us for not really wanting to do anything, like, say, for example, the Discord. And this is the reason why. It's just a whole lot cleaner for us when somebody else does it.
Yes.
Like, it just, because when we do it, like, stuff gets piled on top of stuff, and yeah, it's a mess. Yes. So, if something goes weird with that next week, let us know, because we will be moving, hopefully. hopefully, I would say probably Sunday, Monday, something like that.
Yeah.
Just and I'm excited about that. We got a lot of fancy tools and things we'll be able to play with. And so that's awesome.
Yes, very much so. We really need to get into news this week because we have so much of it. And we're now limited on time. So just a quick question for you. Hey, have you played anything interesting?
I have been playing Adam Paul. I told you that. I've spent a grand total of a half hour. And I sent you a text last night and this morning that you should check it out. We really, neither one of us should be playing it. I've played enough of it to tell you that that game is our jam. Like, that's us all the way around. Apparently, there's all kinds of British sci-fi references, including Doctor Who, in there. Nice. We're gonna love this thing, which makes me sad because we don't have time to play it.
We do. Yeah, that was my worry when I saw it. I was like, oh yeah, this looks like it really could be kind of fun, and we do not have time for something else that could be kind of fun. But
yeah.
Yeah, worth giving some time. So I'm glad you're playing it, and I'm going to try to get into it. I've not had a whole lot of time for gaming, and so mine has been a little bit of Final Fantasy, trying to get through it desperately. It's killing me, but we're closer every day.
Just real quick on that, every time I look at the YouTube, I'm like, okay, this is it. The end of the game. Here it comes.
Nope.
And then it goes for like three more hours.
And then it's just me like hanging out with Chadley doing random like fights.
Okay, so Rip, we have no time to talk about this, but you, there was a really like emotional section in the video before last, and you fought what's his name, and he had like a heart attack, and then he turned into one of the rope guys, and like that was super emotional, and that video got over with, and then the next video you're standing next to Chadley, and I was like, wait, what? did I what happened?
Yeah, there's a little bit of something missed in there that I don't think anything major, but
all right, well, okay. Yeah.
So it was the like after fighting Vincent. And then getting back to
that.
Yeah, there's not anything. It was literally just walking out of the manor and getting back.
The last thing I saw was fighting what's his face. Like, this is way after fighting the Turk guy.
Oh yeah. That came after fighting Vincent. Yeah, that's right. Next thing is Chadley after.
Okay.
Roach fighting Roach.
Yeah.
yes. I know where you're at now.
We're trying desperately to get through that game.
Can I just mention really quick how thrilled I was to finally get to Vincent, one of my favorite characters from the original game? Like, that was cool. I knew it would happen, but like to get to like getting to see some of the meat of that was really fun. So I enjoyed that.
He's really, really cool looking.
Yes. That's what I remember. Like, I remember the like graphic art that was in like, you know, some like trade magazine at the time of Vincent going, oh, there's a vampire in Final Fantasy, that's awesome, you know, like just geeking out about it when I was 14 or whatever it was. And so yeah, he's always been one of my favorites.
Keep talking because I'm about to blow up my shot. turn you up. I gotta roll up here and turn you up.
That's fair. So
yeah.
All that said, we played some Final Fantasy, played a little bit of Adam Fall, but the bulk of today, and we need to get into it because we're a little bit limited on time because we already dealt with tech issues trying to get the show started, and we have tons of news around the Nintendo Switch 2. So that's what we're going to jump into, get into all of that stuff. There's lots of discussion about this. I will mention really quick, there's also lots of really good discussion about this at the Discord. If you are not on Discord yet, now is the time to be on Discord. Like, that thing was blowing up after the Switch 2 Direct. Just great. And so lots of really good interaction over there.
It was blowing up to the point that Paul Last Switch showed up and said, what in the crap is going on over here?
I know.
Thank you, blowing up my phone.
Like, that made me very happy.
And there's still discussion going on.
Oh, yeah.
We're talking this morning. So if you are if you are not on the Discord and you're a fan of this show at all and you want to hang out with us, this is where you do it.
100%.
Because all of the guys that chime in on a regular basis that you hear from, everybody is over there. I meant to tell you, but I sent Will a message and was like, dude, would you come hang out with us on the Discord? We promise we won't bother you about work much because Will works for Riot Games.
Yeah.
But I told him, I was like, dude, please come hang out with us. And there are several other people that I'm looking at trying to email from the old days, trying to get over there, because this is exactly what we want to see happen with this show.
Yeah, for sure.
So
all that being said, let's get into the newsy bits of the news from the Switch 2 Direct. So first of all, I'll mention, go find it and watch it if you're interested and haven't seen it yet. We're going to break down a lot of it here, obviously. But kind of the biggest news was stuff that they didn't really talk about in the Direct. And so we're going to get into all the stuff from the Direct here in just a little bit. But the stuff that really is the most newsworthy was stuff that they kind of announced right afterwards and for understandable reasons, which is release date and price, which are release date. Maybe not a big deal, but good to know. Right now is scheduled for June 5th. I'd say right now, because of that news that broke this morning, things may change, and we'll talk about that here in a little bit. And for a price tag of $450 for the base unit, $500 for the bundle that includes Mario Kart World, which we'll also talk about a lot here in a bit. So release date, hey, that's pretty soon, which is cool. Price tag, hey, that's really expensive, which was a little bit of a shocker and understandable why they didn't put it in big, bright numbers at the end of the Direct. At least I saw, maybe I just overlooked it, but I believe all that came out.
It was not there.
Yeah, I didn't think so. And that's when they didn't say it in the Direct, I was like, oh, that's going to be bad. they know, and the response to that has been what it is. So I think that's the place to start, is talking about price. Two things on price. The price of the console itself, which I think is probably more expensive than people anticipated it being, especially when you compare it to the original Switch that launched at $299. This is going to be at $449 and $499 respectively, so $450 and $500 for the bundle or not bundled version. And then they announced the price of Mario Kart World standalone, which is $80. And so we talked about this on a recent show, price inflation on video games, what it is. Yeah, it's coming, it's here. And kind of mind-boggling to me, it's Nintendo that made it,
right,
the $80 right. jump, not Rockstar, not Sony, not somebody else we're talking
about. Not yet.
Nintendo with Mario Kart at $80.
The thing is, I started to make this point this morning on the Discord. I don't know if you saw it, but Nintendo, rightfully so, because as a company, it's the smartest thing to possibly do. Nintendo's going to do everything they can do to blame tariffs. And they're going to say, well, it's not our fault, it's the administration, it's whatever. And to some extent, that may be true. But let's be straight up and honest. If there were no tariffs, if everything got rescinded tomorrow, Nintendo was still going to try this. This was their plan.
Let me interrupt you for a second, because we're conflating two things here, I think.
Right.
The price as it currently exists, which is already a lot.
Right.
And the price as it may exist in a few weeks, which could be more. Let me just really quickly. The price that they announced was pre-tariff announcement.
Right.
The news that happened this morning is that they are delaying pre-orders because they don't know how much they're actually going to end up charging for this thing now, because post-tariff announcement. So just on talking about the price points, they're not blaming directly at this point the $450 price point on the tariffs.
Right.
They're going to blame the new higher price point on the tariffs, which may be in the works, which we'll talk about as well. There's a good chance that this thing is actually going to launch in the U.S. for a lot more because of that tariff stuff. And we'll, you know, we can dig into that. But even let's hold that thought for just a second. Imagine that that all goes away. We get back to what the assumption was 2 days ago when they announced this. $450, $500, June 5th. How does that feel price-wise for you before we get into what it could be?
Okay, so here's the thing. And I'm not, I guess I'm getting less curmudgeon-y in our old age because I said it on the Discord. Nintendo put the price where it is because they know we'll pay it.
Yeah.
And whatever the tariff hike is, we're probably still going to pay it. Like the thing about Nintendo that we know that applies to a few other companies, that applies to Rockstars and some of those people, and that this is why Rockstar floated it several months ago, is that these companies, and it's a small group of companies, but there is a small group of companies out there that create content that is good enough that I'm willing to pay the price tag. Yeah. I brought up the other day that starting next week for my birthday, I'm going to give myself a birthday present, and I'm going to pay for a year of Apple TV because I think they have some of the best content on the planet at a reasonable price. But even if Apple TV was more money, I'd probably still pay it because it's that good. That's where we are with Nintendo. That's where we are with Rockstar. That's that's what it is. Their content is good. So we're going to pay the money, whatever that money is. Now, there are people like Galloway on the Discord that's like, I'm not doing that. Because I have issues with Nintendo. And he brought up Ubisoft. He was like, I hope they sue Ubisoft. Or I hope Ubisoft sues them for what they did to Palworld and all that. And my response to that was, well, Ubisoft's sketchy too.
Right.
There are every company everywhere. Does sketchy stuff. They just do.
Yeah, right? And wherever you find that, like, this is what I kind of draw the line at, perfectly fine. I'm going to buy a Nintendo Switch too still because I love Nintendo content and everything else. I would argue, I completely agree with everything you just said. They can sell it for that because they know we'll buy it for that. And I think they're mostly right. Even though people are upset with that price point, and have made that known to Nintendo because Nintendo has done some events since then and people are just spamming, drop the price, at all, which I get. And I also, perfectly fine for consumers to react that way. I feel like I'm taking both sides of this issue in a way. And maybe that's true. Maybe I'm just a squish like that. But I really am I would love for the price to be less, but I also will pay this. Really at the end of the day, I'm whatever.
So can I make it easier for you? We both feel that way right now because Nintendo has been on such a streak.
Yes.
Right? If they release this thing and there's some sort of release catastrophe or one of the games is bad, then all of that goodwill that you and I have and all of the Nintendo fanboys have goes out the window. That's why I'm going to use Rockstar as an example because, like I said, they're in that very small group of people. That's why Rockstar is working their tails off to make sure that Grand Theft Auto is great because if it's not great, they can't justify whatever the price tag is.
Yep.
Right?
For sure.
So everything that you just said, you may be a squish, but I am too. Yeah. But it only applies in this specific situation until something is not on the level that we expect it to be.
Yes. And Nintendo, even though like the Switch came out at a much, the original Switch came out at a much lower like competitive price point, Nintendo's never been like the budget console, especially on software. No. Like they don't put their software on heavy sales very often. They don't do a Game Pass or a PlayStation Plus or something equivalent to that with new games. They have kind of the virtual console thing with old games that you can do that for, like classic stuff. But they have a very different approach. And I always feel that way when I buy a Nintendo game is, man, this is expensive.
And
I don't feel that way about a PlayStation game.
Same way.
Yes, it's a really good comparison.
Apple does not do sales. Like I'm not gonna lie, I'm gonna pay for Apple TV next week because I decided that's what I'm giving myself for my birthday. But in the meantime, I'm still scrolling around at Reddit trying to find another free trial because Apple doesn't do things on sale ever.
And can I say I appreciate that, and it's something that like I teach my students of being in an industry, the music industry specifically, where there's a lot of expectation for free internships, for like do work so you can build your portfolio kind of stuff and all this, which there's validity to that in some ways, and so it's a balancing act. But and what I tell them is if you value yourself as your work is free, that's what people are going to expect from your product. If you value yourself as you are presenting a professional product and you charge clients accordingly, assuming, and this goes back to that point you just made, you also come through on that, you deliver a professional product, then you build your brand and people will pay for it, as opposed to thinking, oh, wow, this guy did something really good and he charged me nothing for it. I'm just going to call him next time and say, hey, can you do that again for me? I know you like building your portfolio. And if he says, nah, I need to, you to pay me $500 this time, you know, I'll go find somebody else because you did this for me for free before. I'm not going to pay you. Like, that's an important thing. And like Apple has that mindset. Nintendo, to a certain extent, says, hey, we know our product is good. We know what we put out is quality. You pay for it if you want to. You don't have to, but we're not going to dilute it. The different approach works, too, in a lot of cases. Like, there's a lot of businesses that take the opposite approach and are successful. I'm not saying that this is the right way to do it, but I'm saying it has been successful for Nintendo, and I don't see any reason why they would change it.
And I'm just going to take the analogy that you just made because it's a wonderful analogy. And I'm gonna take you and I as an example. You and I have had a lot of the same jobs in the last 20 years. Just sort of kind of a, like you have the teaching thing, but I'm talking about like side jobs and different things that we've tried and done. And you always, always, always make more money than I do, and it pisses me off. And the reason that you do is because from a very early age, you said, I'm not working for free. I was in a situation, especially very much younger, and part of it has to be a guy in a wheelchair, and part of it, you know, there's all of these different factors to why I did what I did. But, like, you will tell me that you got a job, and I'll go, I've been doing that, and it's really cool, but I ain't working for free. And you're like, well, I'm making $2,000 a month. And I'm like, there's something to be there. Everything that you just said is absolutely, absolutely accurate.
Yeah. It again goes to the brand of Nintendo, which is some of their, one of their biggest assets, and also sometimes a little bit of a liability for them, but not enough of one that it's affecting. I think if the thing actually launches on June 5th at $450, $500 with Mario Kart, it's going to be fine. We have historic precedent where it didn't work out with Sony and the PlayStation 3, which launched at $600 when it launched, and that blew up, and they dropped the price. The whole thing happened, and Sony bounced back from that. I don't feel like this is like that for multiple reasons. The price point's obviously different. But also just in like what the established view of what this product is going to be versus the somewhat unknown of what the PlayStation 3 was. because they were working on different architecture, they were really selling it as a deviation from kind of the tech that they had done in the past, and that created all kinds of... we don't have to rehash that history. Just saying that there is precedent for this backfiring on a company to say that it could backfire on Nintendo. It just seems unlikely to
work. And if it does, like all it takes, and I'm not being... I'm not overstating here. All it would take is for one first-party title to be bad, right? Like, all it would take
is if Mario Kart sucks, right? Like, that's the system seller.
I'm not even gonna go like I Mario Kart's a system seller. I'm thinking more like Zelda or Metroid or
sure.
one of those that I want to say is Nintendo, but Mario Kart's also Nintendo,
right? But this is the thing, is Mario Kart is the bundled product, you know, if you get the bundle,
right.
Obviously. But that's the one that they're trying to sell the system on. We're going to have it before a new Zelda or a new Metroid or whatever comes out.
Right.
Unless Mario Kart sucks, which by the report so far, people have been hands-on, and there's lots of people who have been able to get hands-on, and we're about to get a lot more of that because these Switch experiences that they're doing all over the country are about to start. People say they love it. I haven't heard anybody go, Mario Kart kind of sucks. Everybody says it's Mario Kart. Like, you know what you're going to get with it. It's not revolutionary, even though it's doing some new things. We can talk about that here in a little bit with the new Mario Kart. But it's Mario Kart. It's fun. That is by far the Switch that's sitting in the other room in my house. The game that gets played the most is Mario Kart 8. Because my family loves it. I can play it with Genevieve. She loves it. You know, I'm going to get this thing for no other reason just to play new Mario Kart with my family, right? Like, it's really a big deal. Mario Kart 8, like, I heard this on another podcast, I believe is the fifth best-selling game of all time. Just nuts. It's been released on two different systems, and so it makes a little bit of sense. But still, just nuts that Mario Kart is one of the best-selling games of all time. So anyway. A little bit of perspective, we'll move off this and talk about the tariff thing, because that's also really fascinating. Just a little perspective on inflation adjustments for consoles and game prices. This is still, even inflation-adjusted, one of Nintendo's most expensive consoles they've ever launched. The original NES, the Super NES, both are slightly more expensive when they launch versus inflation than the Switch 2, but all the rest are cheaper. Now, relatively, the cheapest one was the GameCube, which, if inflation-adjusted, would be $350 today. Switch, the original Switch would be almost $400. So again, we're not talking crazy out of the realm of like where we've priced stuff before inflation adjusted. It's easy to get stuck on just the raw numbers.
That right there is why you're the co-host of the show, because you pull my crap up, you got graphs and charts. You really smart.
By the way, if you want to see the graphs and charts, they're over at the show notes, gaminguncensored.com.
Yeah.
It's all there. But the other thing, I didn't even clock this at first, but is a really good point when I was looking through this. Do you know what the current price on the PlayStation 5 is?
It's
$499. Digital only is $449 or whatever. Like, the Xbox Series X is $499. Like,
right.
It's the same price as the consoles that have been out since 2020. Now,
that's where some of the weirdness with Nintendo comes in, because people, whether they mentally realize it or not, go, it's Nintendo, it's a lesser console, it needs to be cheaper.
Yes.
Because it's not as powerful as a PlayStation 5 or an Xbox, it needs to be cheaper. And my argument to that would be, yes, I've had that same thought myself on occasion, but my argument to that is it's arguably the best handheld on the planet.
Yeah.
Like, the only competition it really has is the Steam Deck.
Yep.
And like, they're neck and neck in my estimation.
Yeah.
So, like, I it's like you said, like, if everything else is priced that way, how are you gonna bitch at them being priced like that?
And I'm so glad you brought that up, because that was where my mind went too, was like, okay, yeah, this compares to Xbox and Sony in this way, but how does it compare to the Steam Deck? also in the show notes. Go back to KBNCensor.com. You can see this one as well, because there's a whole chart in there about this. So there's two SKUs of the Steam Deck, right? There's the LCD OLED. And the OLED model.
Yeah.
The LCD model is $400, so cheaper than either. We'll just go $450 for the Switch, because not with the bundled software. So LCD model of the Steam Deck, $400. Switch 2, $450. OLED model of the Steam Deck is $550. And so that's a big jump. Now, Switch 2, LCD screen, not OLED. Interesting choice, because there's a Switch with an OLED screen, but they decided to go LCD. But Switch 2, higher resolution, 1080p on handheld mode. I'm strictly comparing these on handheld mode. I could care less on either one of them does docked for this comparison, right? Faster frame rates on a refresh rate on the Switch 2 screen, 120 hertz versus 80 hertz, I think is what the Steam Deck is. Processing power, all that kind of stuff, we don't have as many details about, because we don't have those technical specs from Nintendo yet. But I heard Gene Park, somebody we talk about on this show from time to time, great reporter for Washington Post, covers video game stuff, talking about Cyberpunk, which was a little bit of a shocker, was shown off in the Switch 2 Direct.
It wasn't a little bit. It was a lot.
Yeah.
I saw it. I literally, and you can tell me how you feel about this, but I saw it and I was like, what the crap is that?
Yeah.
Like, and not in a good way. Like, I love CDPR, but this is a bad call.
But let me say this, because that would be my first thought too. And let me preface what I'm about to say is, if you're going to play Cyberpunk and you have the ability to play it on PlayStation, Xbox, preferably PC, do that, because it's going to be a better experience. However, I have played a chunk of Cyberpunk on the Steam Deck, because when I'm going somewhere and need to play handheld mode, I can play it handheld mode. Does it look as pretty? Of course not. You know, like, everything about it is lesser because it's on this smaller screen and this more compact body. Is it fun and does it play well? Yeah, like, it really does. Gene Park was saying that the Switch build for Cyberpunk, to him, performed better than the Steam Deck build for Cyberpunk. Just to give a comparison of, like, how the kind of actual back-end processing power kind of stacks up between them. That's anecdotal. That may or may not actually reflect what the kind of muscle power of either one of these is.
You know, the refresh rate is going to make a big difference.
Mm-hmm.
Just that is going to make a huge difference.
Absolutely. And that's, you know, that's the experience you're getting. And that's, you know, if you're going to play Cyberpunk in handheld mode, again, you shouldn't.
Don't do that.
But if you are, the Switch 2 is probably as legitimate of a way to do that as the Steam Deck. And that's probably going to be true for a lot of games. Are you going to go to the Switch 2 to play Call of Duty? Are you going to go to the Switch 2 to play whatever, you know, fill in Grand Theft Auto 5 or whatever, or 6. There's another game that they announced in there. I was like, why would you ever play that? But no, you're probably not, unless that's the only console you have. And then by all means, like, whatever, knock yourself out with some Cyberpunk on there. So anyway, how it compares to the Steam Deck seems pretty favorable. And again, price point kind of falls in that same ballpark. More expensive than base model, less expensive than the OLED model. Obviously doesn't come with the OLED screen. We'll get a Switch 2 with an OLED screen probably pretty soon. We'll see what happens, but guarantee they're working on that. And all the other bells and whistles and stuff they showed off is really great. So all that said, I'm right out of breath with how much we're trying to squeeze in here. The tariff thing, because this is the thing that has me the most worried about everything that we've talked about so far. So this happens on Wednesday. On Thursday? I don't remember, whatever day it was that the new tariffs get announced and all this stuff. And we don't have to get into all the kind of politics and whatever of that. But what has been announced, whether or not it sticks, big question. And that's what Nintendo, I think, is kind of, you know,
waiting on
their hat on this. New tariffs announced. And the tariffs that seem to be most important for the price of the Switch 2 are tariffs on China and tariffs on Vietnam, because those at least seem to be the two main places that Nintendo actually produces the switch, where they have actual manufacturing happening. So whatever the tariff is on Japan, it doesn't really matter here because we'd be importing these products from probably China and Vietnam. The tariffs that have been announced to be applied to China and Vietnam are about 50%. And so you're looking at a 50% tariff of the cost of whatever that imported good is. And there's a lot of other details that we're not going to dive into here or whatever. But
we would love to. That's why we need another show. Somebody would be super fun.
Right.
Yeah, it would.
We would spend all day talking about that as well. What that means practically is that the price of the Switch could realistically go up before it's launched.
Sure.
If these tariffs maintain up to $600 or more. If you really take the full, like, if we're going to completely offset this tariff by whatever, you know, amount the consumer's paying on the back end, that I would not think I would buy a Switch for, especially with the understanding that there's a good chance that these tariffs are going to change.
No, here's the thing. All of this is fluid right now, and you can't take, for the next 6 weeks, you can't take anything you see as gospel, and if you do, you're going to be in for a world of hurt, because it could change in about 3 seconds, right? Like. Again, don't want to get into the political side. Not interested in doing that right now. But like, all you need to know is that everything is in flux right now, and nothing is locked in. Nobody has said that anywhere. you can't find that on a news outlet anywhere. It's all in flux, and so. I'm in a wait and see mode
for sure.
And let's face it, if this were any other console, you and I would probably, we are past the age where we have to buy day one, because we have lives and families and jobs and various things, and so if this were any other console, we would probably be looking at it going, okay, we'll probably wait till Christmas to see what kind of deal there is or whatever. Yeah. And so I'm just going to repeat what I said on Discord. You can be upset about tariffs if you want to and what that's doing. But like realistically, right now, it's just a scapegoat. That's what it is.
That's the part I'll argue with you about. Because what are we scapegoating? It's uncertainty. Like, that's what it is. And it's not Nintendo's fault there's uncertainty there, right?
That's right. That's 100% right.
That's just, like, they don't know what to price this thing at.
Yeah.
Not knowing. And to be clear, this is specifically for the American market.
Yeah.
Because it's not a tariff that is applied across the board. Now, do they adjust prices for other countries based on, who knows? We'll see what happens with that. They could, they may not. I don't know. I have no clue what the kind of geopolitical stuff will look like. But this is a very specifically American issue. This is just the tariffs themselves just apply to imports that are coming into America. So for all of our listeners that are somewhere else, you get to deal with your own country's geopolitical stuff and whatever tariffs you have on whatever country, you know, that it's confusing everywhere. But specifically for us here in America, like, it makes sense that Nintendo says, hey, we're going to pause the pre-order thing, which I did sign up for. Like, I never signed up for a pre-order, but I said, hey, I'll sign up for that. I really like what they did with the pre-order. You had, for going directly through Nintendo to pre-order, you have to have at least 12 months of Switch Online and at least 50 hours of gameplay logged on the Switch, so that it's not just a bunch of scalpers getting pre-orders, which I
really
cool.
like that. That's really too. Good.
So I thought, anyway, that's neither here nor there, because at this point, the pre-orders may not materialize, because they were supposed to happen on the 9th of April. They've now put an indefinite pause on that until they kind of figure out what's going on. And that's, I get it. And again, there's nothing about that that I see blame on Nintendo for. Now, if they, you know, come out and say the thing is now double the price that it was, blame tariffs, like, that's ridiculous. But if it's like 50% more because of a 50% tariff, you kind of go, I can see like where that makes sense, but I'm not interested in buying it at that price. And then we have people like trying to smuggle in Switch 2s. It's just going to be a disaster.
And see, again, I don't think it's worth it for, I was in a meeting with somebody last week, and they were talking about kind of the state of things. And I said, look, you can spend your time worrying about whatever political thing you want to worry about. I stopped worrying about that stuff a long time ago because all I can control is what I do in my daily life. If you want to waste your time and emotional energy, you know, worrying about that in your daily life, you can do that. I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
That's
totally fair. The thing I would say is we're 2 months out from the release, right? So this is April 4th when we're recording this. So theoretically, 2 months from tomorrow is when the thing is supposed to release. I don't know if we're going to have clarity by then of whatever any of this stuff is, right? Maybe we will. Maybe we will tomorrow. Again, we just have no clue. It's all unpredictable. But if we don't have clarity in 2 months when Nintendo's trying to release this thing, from just the standpoint of what Nintendo does, I'm fascinated. Do they halt the release? Do they do a non-American release, right? Like, do they do a Japanese-only release? Do they up the price and say, sorry, guys, like, that's what you get? And that will take a hit on Nintendo's brand. Like, right. Nintendo will pay a price for that.
Yeah.
It is a really interesting, strange thing to be watching, just in part because of the happenstance of when these two things happen. Like, literally, I think on the same day, if not a day apart from each other. Like, it's just wild.
I love the word that you just used, and you've used it several times in the last 15 minutes, because I feel the same way. I'm fascinated by this, and some portion of my brain is really kind of happy about it because we know that as long as this kind of stuff is going on, like, it doesn't matter what happens with E3, it doesn't matter what happens with anything else, we're gonna have something to talk about on this show. That's what they call job security right there. I'm kind of happy about it from the standpoint of, hey, we got something to watch and something to talk about when it gets dry in like August.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, that's fair. I would rather just have a Switch 2 personally.
Right.
But we're definitely going to have stuff to talk about. There's no doubt about that. We'll move into the more fun stuff with some of the software, that kind of stuff. I do want to mention one thing that I just saw in passing that I'm really heartbroken that it happened. Apparently, at some point, there was a discussion in Nintendo for the name of the Switch 2 to be the Super Nintendo Switch.
Ew.
And it just kills me that didn't happen. Super Nintendo Switch, you don't like that? That's amazing.
You know what? You know what? Here's the thing. I would do, if you did that, you would have to like do the colors and the whole thing. If they did that, I'd be all over it.
Nintendo is my all-time favorite console, so I'm just a sucker.
I was like, so close.
Yeah, I do too. Right back there. That white closet behind me, and there's a Super Nintendo sitting in there right now. So anyway. So let's talk about some of the fun stuff. All the other news that we got around the Switch, which is a ton. We're not going to get through so much of this, but we'll get through at least a little bit of it. So a little bit about software. I will mention some highlights and lowlights still on this. Mario Kart World, just really briefly, the approach to a new Mario Kart game being kind of open world-ish, like it's this big continent, and like the new thing appears to be like you have a free roam mode and you can kind of go anywhere in this world, and then you can do races in it. They have a new race mode that's like an elimination mode, and lots of really cool sounding stuff that's different and like feels like Mario Kart kind of being modernized while still being Mario Kart, which sounds cool. And like I said, everybody that I've seen, read, or heard that has gotten hands-on with it says it's Mario Kart and it's great and they love it. So I would encourage if you want to hear like hands-on from somebody who played one, Jason Schreier, who's a journalist with Bloomberg at this point, I think. So anyway, it does the Triple Click podcast. Was at the Nintendo event and got to play a handful of games. And so go listen to that or a handful of other people that are cooler than us that actually got hands-on with the thing and are able to give you some hands-on. But that's where I'm hearing some of this stuff from. That sounds cool. Mario Kart's great. It looks like Mario Kart's going to be the real deal for this, which they need. Like, that's a really important part of this. Right. They have chosen Mario Kart to be the system game, and if it's good, that's going to be a big deal. They also showed, we've got to talk about this one because it's kind of on the other side of the ledger for me, the Nintendo Switch 2 Welcome Tour, which is this tech demo that looks honestly kind of cool, like interesting, like it shows, especially like the mouse controls, because they did talk a lot about the mouse controls that either of the Joy-Cons can be put on their side and work like a mouse and all that kind of stuff. And so this little Welcome Tour thing is like their tech demo. They even use that term tech demo to talk about it, of like how your Switch works and all the different components, and you can navigate like this and do all these things. And that's great. Except for they're charging people for it. You have to buy the tech demo for the console, and that just blows my mind.
And see, that was the reason I wrote what I wrote this morning, because
that's so wild.
They're make no mistake, Nintendo's a company like everybody else, and they're trying to make money, and they're trying to figure out what we'll pay for and what we won't, and like that they are. And there's no way, like, this is a prime example of it. Like, this is a, you talk about common sense, this is dumb. Unless you think that your fan base is so tuned in to what you're doing that they'll just pay whatever, which I kind of think that's where Nintendo's at.
Yeah, you may be right.
And we know that's where Apple's at.
Yeah.
Apple will say it to your face. Like Apple's like, yeah, this is what we charge if you don't want our project.
But they still don't charge you for like the tour of your new OS when you download it. You know, like that's essentially what this is. It's the Japanese price came out, I think, and it translated into like $7, something like that. Yeah. And so like it's not gonna be, but it's just like package that with it, guy. Like
I'm not,
if there's nothing else that Nintendo figures out before this thing launches, package that with it. Like that should be pre-installed on the stupid thing that you can go in and go, oh cool, mouse, like let me play Mario Kart now,
because okay, that's what everybody wants to actually do. I gotta get to this before before the kid wakes up, because there was one thing, since we're talking about the hardware, there's one thing that drives me crazy that I watched, and they spent like 10 minutes on it, and I was like, are you kidding me? First, there is a chat button on the Switch. The C button is chat.
The C button is back, but it's chat now.
That is the most absurd thing I've ever seen in my life. They've got a camera. They're doing like screen sharing and stuff. And can I just say this? I know they're trying to get into the Switch, to the Twitch aspect of things and whatever. But when they were showing off the multi-screen and you know, we're all playing together, woo! Yeah. All of the video on the smaller screens, the frame rate was awful.
God, it was so bad. It was so hideous. Why are you even showing me that? Like, oh, that just made my skin crawl.
Yeah,
so
like,
bad.
It's awful. And I was like,
how is all of y'all's internet so bad? Like, it just, like, that's what it feels like.
See, that's the thing.
I don't think so either, but that's what it looks like. It just is, like, horrible.
I don't think
bad.
It has anything to do with their internet.
I don't think either.
It's the Switch.
I think 100% you're right. And it's just, they've spent a lot of time early on showcasing that feature. And it just, like, voice chat, fine. Like, I get that. Everybody has voice chat at this point. Like,
right.
Have voice chat. Have a button. There's a button on my PlayStation controller that mutes and unmutes a microphone. Like, whatever. Have a button on the controller for chat. I don't care about that. But the, like, camera accessory and, like, the, like, eliminating your background, having the floating head thing and the noise elimination.
I'm like, this is just not.
It's all going to be bad. It's all going to be bad.
It's going to be horrible.
Yeah. I'm not here for that. So most things about Switch 2, I'm pretty excited about that one. I don't care.
Yeah.
Just as miserable. And I don't think most people are probably going to care a whole lot, but there's going to be a few people that it probably really appeals to it. Great. But yeah, was it my thing? So
yeah.
That was the chunk of the like first party software. The other things I'll mention, they did announce that there's going to be a lot of like Switch 2 editions of games, including both of the Zelda games, Breath of the Wild and Tears of the Kingdom, Metroid Prime. I'm trying to think of what else. There was something else in there, another one that I'm missing off the top of my head that was a big deal. Anyway, several first-party current Switch games that are going to be upgraded in some way. So for like Zelda, for instance, because that's the one I care about, this is going to give me a reason to go back to Tears of the Kingdom and go finish all the shrines and do all that, which I'm super excited about.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, updated frame rates, updated resolution. They have this app thing now with it, which I don't really care about. Achievements now. They have their own kind of version of achievements, which I'm not a big achievement person, but there's a lot of people that obviously are really big on achievements, and so bringing that into Zelda for a lot of people is a big deal. And so, cool that they're doing that. The pricing on this is also weird, and so like everything else we've been talking about. For Zelda specifically, according to Nintendo, if you have Nintendo Switch Online, I think including expansion pass, I think you have to have like the full thing. The upgrades for Switch 2 for Zelda are free. If you own the game, you get the upgrades for free.
Right.
If you don't have a Switch Online, you got to pay something for it. I don't know if they've announced what that cost is, but there is going to be some cost to some games to get them to the like Switch 2 edition, and some games will be included with your Nintendo Switch Online account or whatever it is. It's just a mess. Everything's confusing about the pricing stuff.
Let me just bring this up, because I said something yesterday on Discord, which, by the way, if you want to read what's been going on, go to Discord. We're not, a lot of the time you and I overhype stuff because we get excited about stuff and we're like, this is the new big thing. But like, seriously, the Discord is hopping. So if you want to go and check out what the discussion has been over the last 2 days, please go do that, because it's awesome.
Yes.
But I just wonder, like, Zelda at a better frame rate is awesome, right? Like, that's going to be great. But I don't really think that it matters that much. Like, I don't, I mean, like, we talked about this years ago with Ratchet and Clank and how it felt so much better running on performance mode than visual mode. So we may get the new version and go, this is awesome.
Let me interrupt you and say,
it matters.
I think it's going to matter a ton, because that was the one thing, and I talked about it on the show, playing Tears of the Kingdom after just having been playing stuff on PlayStation 5 for so long and then coming to Tears of the Kingdom. It felt so slow, like laggy, because it was all locked at 30 frames per second. Like, you really could feel it, and it just, like, it was hard to, like, readjust that. The game is brilliant. Like, I wouldn't change, you know, anything about the experience of playing that game. But the idea of the higher frame rate, like, really is super appealing to somebody who plays a lot on
higher
frame rate stuff.
That's where I was going to get to. Is that enough? You're not gonna have to
I wouldn't pay for it, right?
would you? That's not something you'd pay for.
That's not something I would pay for, but I'm cheap. And I
don't think I would either. And I made that argument on the Discord.
I say that right now, and I kind of think about it. Like, it really depends on what the price point was. Like, would I pay $20 for it? No. Would I pay $10 for it? Maybe.
I mean, it is
my favorite game I've ever played, right? Like, I love Tears of the Kingdom. And so, like, a part of me saying I could play it with a better experience for $10, and it's one of the best gaming experiences that I've ever had in my life. How could I not pay $10 for it? Again, so, I'm just throwing out numbers here, Randy.
So let me just say that I know you will pay for this, and here's why. Because we both, this week, just paid for it. Well, we didn't pay for it. Patreon paid for it.
Thank you, Patreon.
But we both paid for the enhanced edition of Grand Theft Auto five.
Fair. Yes, and, very true.
And like I, before I paid for it, I sent you a text and I was like, are you sure we have the money for this? Because I have not one but two copies of Grand Theft Auto yeah. 5, and I'm not sure I feel right about this. Yeah. We really are stewards of your money on this show, and like I was a little uncomfortable because I was like, it can't be that much of an upgrade.
Yeah.
I never booted up the original, so like I don't. It looks good.
Yeah, that's the thing, is it holds its own in 2025. Like, it's a 12-year-old game or whatever it is at this point that holds it. It came out on the PlayStation. I played it on the PlayStation 3. I played it when I lived in a different city than I do now, and I've lived here for 10 years. Like, it's just crazy right. how long it's been since Grand Theft Auto 5 came out.
So. And like, we're not going to get into this show. You and I could have an hour discussion on Grand Theft Auto, because yes. I've been playing Grand Theft Auto online this week, and that's a discussion we're gonna have to have somewhere yes. else, because I gotta be honest, I am pleasantly surprised.
Yeah.
I am it's really good.
We need to spend some time with it together too. Yes, we will definitely have that conversation.
I've asked on the Discord if anybody wants to come be involved with us and you want to come and drag a cripple around, we'll get a crew started. And like,
yeah,
I know how to do private lobbies now, so we don't have to deal with creepers and everything else. And that'll have to be some bonus content or something somewhere, because we got to talk about Grand Theft Auto 5 online somewhere. I'm shocked how good it is.
Yeah, really pretty solid. So
yeah.
Really quick, other software stuff from Nintendo. The other kind of big first-party thing they announced was a new Donkey Kong game called Donkey Kong Bonanza, which is 3D kind of Donkey Kong world, but you like environment's real destructive, and it... like Donkey Kong was fun back in the day. I'm not a big into it. Yeah, it's
Paul
really
said he
my
was,
thing.
But I wasn't feeling it.
The people again that I've heard that I've had hands on with it say it's fun, but like it's not one that I know I'm gonna have to go out and pick up. Interesting about it though, something to at least point out here, it is priced $10 less than Mario Kart is, and so it does show that Nintendo does have kind of a pricing hierarchy structure already in their thought process of what is a $70 game versus kind of what that premium level $80 game is. And it'll be interesting to see if they stick to that and kind of what that builds into the branding. Going back to that discussion we had a little bit ago, that like automatically to me it says, oh, Nintendo doesn't think this is as good of a game as Mario Kart, which I don't either. Like I would not imagine it would be as good of a game as Mario Kart, but you telling me that reinforces my already preconceived notion of that and makes me less likely to want to play it, which again, it's just an interesting observation there, and we'll see if they just go, okay, then everything else is just gonna be $80, or if they really try to do this tiered thing.
So let's talk about the Nintendo Online stuff for a second, because you brought up a very valid point right there. I loaded Atomfall on my system because Sam said, I'm playing it. It's doing some stuff I've never seen before. I really like it. So I went to Game Pass. I unloaded every game that I had except Indie and loaded Atomfall, and I'm going to load Death Stranding for the new thing that we're going to do, because that starts in 10 days. And so I got to get that loaded. Anyway, my point is, I loaded Atomfall, and I can already tell we're going to have a blast with it. But if I had to pay for it just out of the box, not knowing much about it, kind of like the same thing with Donkey Kong, just looking at it, I don't know that I would have paid $60 or whatever Atomfall costs. I love that it's on Game Pass, because it's not technically, I mean, it is costing me something.
Right, but TV. Yeah.
But it's not costing me that price. And so, to me, people have been talking about for a couple of days, does Nintendo need a Game Pass option, like a competitive option in that way. And that's kind of the way that I think about this new version of Donkey Kong, is that it's appropriate for Game Pass.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, right.
It's a Game Pass game. And I'm not talking trash on Adam Paul. I watched two different reviews on Adam Paul. I watched people play it. Because after I fired it up yesterday, I'm like, I'm going to do a little research. Everybody loves this thing. Yeah. It's great. So I'm not talking trash on Adam Paul, but it is a double-A game. And that's what I think.
To put that in a slightly different context of a game that's maybe a little bit, I would argue, probably is a little bit better. I haven't played any of Adam Fall, but a game both you and I have played also on Game Pass is Indiana Jones. Yes. This game we didn't pay for outside of our Game Pass subscription. That is a very good game. We've chronicled our complaints with it plenty on here. We don't have to rehash that right now. But it's a plenty good game, very good game. And that doesn't feel devalued to me because it's on Game Pass. Because... why? I don't know. But like, it feels like pricing Donkey Kong $10 less than Mario Kart devalues Donkey Kong in a way different than putting Indiana Jones Day One on Game Pass devalues that, or Adam Fall or whatever other, you know, Game Pass launch day thing
okay,
you want.
So let's take this angle to it, okay? I didn't expect to go this route, but okay. You talked about system sellers earlier, okay? To me, Indiana Jones is on Game Pass because it's a Game Pass seller. Okay,
you and I
can argue that, but we've talked about for months and months and months that the internet loves this game, and whether we like it or not, it's selling Game Pass.
Yeah.
Adam Paul is not selling Game Pass. We pay for Game Pass so that we can play games like Adam Paul.
Yeah.
Like there is a distinction there.
Yep. Yeah.
And again, I'm not talking trash about Adam Paul. I think Adam Paul's going to be great. Like, I fired it up and I was like, my Fallout sense started tingling. I'm I think it's going to be great. I'm not talking trash on Adam Paul, but that's the difference, is that Indy is a Game Pass seller. And Adam Paul, you pay for Game Pass to play it.
Yeah, I think that's really fair. I think that's a really good way to put that. What other specific? So let me go through a handful of the other software titles that they showed off as either launch titles or stuff that's coming to the Switch too. That are mostly all these are third party, just to give you some sense of it. Hades 2, Street Fighter 6, Split Fiction. That's kind of cool. Hogwarts Legacy, Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 3 and 4, which I'm really looking forward to. Not going to play it on the Switch too, but you know, whatever. Hitman, World of Assassination,
which by the way looked like crap.
It didn't really look bad.
Yeah, it
didn't
not
look
good.
No. But IO Interactive's James Bond game is also coming up. We saw a tease somewhere. I remember when we saw that tease at some point. Bravely Default, which was going back. Civ 7. Cool. Again, I'm just going through
that
a bunch of names.
That sort of makes sense on the Switch. Like,
yeah, sort of. Kind of. With the like weird mouse control things, which is its own weird... Yeah. Thing we'll probably talk about more at some point. Fortnite, you're gonna be able to play Fortnite on Switch too. Go ahead.
We won't, but no, we somebody won't. Will.
Somebody will. Yeah. We won't. The one that got the most attention, probably that blew the internet up the most, was a new FromSoft game that nobody really saw coming. That is going to be a Switch 2 exclusive, which also I don't think anybody had on their bingo card for the Nintendo Direct Switch, the Switch 2 conference. It is called The Duskbloods. And we've talked plenty about how FromSoft isn't really our thing, but we know it's a lot of people's thing. This is very Bloodborne-ish. Feels like maybe, again, this is me talking from ignorance here, but feels like either in the world of Bloodborne or very heavily inspired, adjacent to Bloodborne, which people adore Bloodborne. And showing it off during the Direct... they just kind of showed like big overworld view, like characters, all that kind of very FromSoft. Like you immediately get it if you're into that world. after the fact, again, this is like this little sketchy stuff that Nintendo did a couple of times in this conference. After the fact, they put out in a press release that this is a multiplayer game, not a single player campaign style thing like Bloodborne is, but a multiplayer game like the new Elden Ring expansion's not the right word, but spinoff or whatever it is. That's Night something. Oh my goodness, I'm gonna lose any little credibility I had already. Anyway, the new Elden Ring spinoff that's also multiplayer, which I think like really brought down the excitement of the the FromSoft people.
Wow.
And maybe it'll be really good, and it's pretty because FromSoft stuff is pretty and it has that aesthetic to it and everything else. But like, it really felt bait and switch that like, look, new FromSoft, everybody's gonna be pumped, and it's exclusive to Switch 2. You gotta go buy a Switch 2, and it's a multiplayer game that you're probably not gonna be that into. Yay! You know, that's like what it felt like, and it just was like, oh.
Well, I'm gonna say, because you're right, we're 100% not really FromSoft guys. However, because I've done it once and now I know I can do it again, when we get off the air here, I'm going to send the Cabbage a text, and we may fire up the mics at some point this weekend to, because I want to get his 2 cents on what he thinks on this thing, because he's our FromSoft guy.
Yes.
Right. So I there may be some bonus content this weekend, because I know for a fact, because he said it on the Discord, that he literally stood up and screamed out loud. So
yeah,
I'm thinking that some point this weekend, me and Cabbage may get together and have a discussion about this, because you and I are gonna have it, because we don't care.
Yeah, we just don't.
Yeah.
I will mention really briefly here, Metroid Prime was shown for just a little bit, but not much. And it still is just making me a little bit nervous that at this point they're not spending a lot of time talking about Metroid. Now, apparently it was playable at the demo session, and so people have been hands-on with it. And they talked about in the direct that it has the weird Joy-Con mouse support, so you can use the Joy-Con mouse
in
Metroid Prime, which is not a game, honestly, that really lends itself to it. Like, it's FPS-ish, but it uses this locking mechanism. Again, that's what the previous Metroid Primes have done, and apparently this one does too, unless there's a way to change it. And so, don't necessarily love that. But I'm curious on your thoughts, just in general. We'll finish with this because I need a wrap, but the Joy-Con as mouse idea, like, to me feels super gimmicky, and I'm thinking there may be a game or two where I'm like, oh, okay, that kind of makes a little bit of sense, but I just have a really hard time imagining where it would ever be a practical option. I love playing mouse and keyboard, but like, it's not mouse and keyboard, it's mouse and other controller, right? Like, you still have the other Joy-Con. Maybe also as a mouse, they showed the, I don't remember what it's called, but the murder ball game, where you're controlling like the wheelchair and shooting with the two Joy-Cons as a mouse.
I have a little...
we should bring that one.
We'll have to talk about later. Yeah. Because I had a few issues with that.
Yeah. By all means, go ahead. I've got a couple of minutes. I'm curious now.
Like, what is that? I feel like as a guy in a wheelchair who doesn't take wheelchair basketball seriously anyway, like, this does not help.
I don't know because.
It's your character is clearly a guy in a wheelchair playing 3-on-3 wheelchair basketball. I love that you called it murder ball, because that's not what it's called. I can't remember the name of it, but that's pretty much, I mean, it's weird.
Yeah.
It's weird.
It was shown off as a way to showcase the mouse control kind of thing. Okay. And it just, you like roll and then you shoot, and it just didn't look like it plays well. It wasn't pretty. Like, it just, I was like, oh, that feels really awkward.
So that's to me, the mouse thing, just real quick, and then we'll wrap this up because I know he's waking up. The mouse thing to me feels like somebody on the team was like, I have this really cool idea that we can use for, like, I have this whole vision of roadmaps of games that this would be awesome for, and I'd really like to see it. And the other guy's like, okay, yeah, cool, put it in, we'll figure it out. that's exactly what this feels like, and it feels like they're trying to, like, push it on us, and like, if they find a title, it goes back to what I said about the faith and credit, and we're willing to pay whatever as long as it's good. If they find a title or two or three where this is really usable, and it's like, it's something that we've never seen before, and like, I'm trying to think of another example, like the Wii changed what we thought about how you play a game, right? Yes.
Yeah.
And so because of that, it's one of the greatest selling consoles of all time. And that's a lot to say from Nintendo that had the NES and the SNES. Like, the Wii, I think, beat them both.
Yeah.
So if they can find a way to leverage this in a way that makes sense, great. But right now it looks like this little add-on thing that they're trying to add into games. I'm like, look at this new tech we got. It's like the Wii, and you're going to love it.
Yeah.
And that's what it feels like.
Yeah, I agree. And I wouldn't be surprised if in a year, like, nobody even thinks about the fact that it can be used as a mouse. Unless you're, like, doing something real specific, like trying to navigate a web browser or something on the Switch. Like, there are times that being able to flip over the controller really quickly and just have that mouse input for, like, momentary things,
right,
could be kind of handy. In almost every situation, though, like, I'm just going to prefer to do it with a controller. Very rarely could I imagine that being a thing. So anyway, lots we didn't talk about, obviously, but we did get through lots with that. No big notable releases. We got this big news this week, but no big notable releases. Other than The Last of Us Part 2 Remastered is now out on PC. If for whatever reason you haven't played that yet, don't have a PlayStation, but have a PC, good time to do it. The HBO series season 2 is in a week and a half, so this would be a good time to get caught up, because big things happen. And if you don't know what happens, we're not going to spoil it for you here, but big things happen that you probably want to know about, or maybe don't want to know about. Want to be surprised in the show. But the sexy sidekick who watched The Last of Us with me, which I was surprised by, and actually really enjoyed the show, which speaks to how good of a show it is, that a video game zombie show that is mildly scary. It's not like a big, heavy horror show, but, you know, has its scary jump scare moments here and there. Yeah. If the sexy sidekick got into it, you made a good show, because that's, like, all not her thing, and she really enjoyed The Last of Us. But she thinks she knows exactly what's about to happen, and she is just so radically wrong about it. I'm just really excited to sit down with her and watch her, like, go, that's not where I thought this was going, because it's going to blow her mind, because she is very convinced she knows where it's going, and she is very wrong.
And all I can say is good luck to you, sir.
That's fair.
Because, yeah, I've seen her when she's that way. That's interesting. So we've got a lot more to talk about. We're going to be talking about this for weeks and weeks. Well, not that long, because it's coming out.
Yeah, we'll see. Who knows? We'll have news about it.
Yeah, sure. We're going to talk about this for a while. We're not cool enough to get early stuff, as you already said. So we're going to be out there with the rest of you guys trying to figure this out. When the Switch 2 launches, it's going to be really interesting. It's going to be hugely interesting, and I'm excited, because I know one thing for certain, and that is that it's going to keep the discussion on the Discord going. I'll say it again. If you are not on the Discord and you're listening to this show, if you can hear my voice, we want to see you on the Discord. So please go check that out. I figured out how to make a permanent link yesterday. I figured it all out all by myself. I didn't even have to go look anything up. That's what I gave Will, was a permanent link. If you are looking for a way to get on Discord and you can't find it, there's a link on the website. There's links various other places, which if Tommy has not replaced, I will replace, because now I know how to do that. And we definitely want you there. So definitely get over there and join the discussion. You can send us an email at
gaminguncensored@gmail.com.
Or give us a call at
509 game 10.
All right.
You threw me off there.
He's worried about a baby. I knew I was going to get him. I could see it. But that's how you get a hold of us, and we will pay attention. Somebody needs to call the voicemail line. I'm probably going to call and yell at Google right today.
A good idea.
Because I don't think anybody has sent us a voicemail. But definitely call us, send us a voicemail. We will play it on the air. Other than that, sir, is there anything else?
I think we're good.
All right, I'm Jamie. That's Tommy. We are Gaming Uncensored. And for the second week in a row, we're out!
Would you like to submit a segment for the show? Send it to gaminguncensored@gmail.com. And don't worry, we'll play just about anything. Gaming Uncensored.